We got breaking news. President Trump to address the nation tonight on Iran.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's April 1st. No April Fool's Day jokes for us today, though. We do have some big breaking news we're going to discuss. President Trump is currently at a Supreme Court case, but will be addressing the nation for the first time since the start of the war in Iran tonight at 9 p.m. Now, we don't know the details of it, but we do know that it will be specifically about what is going on in Iran. So a lot of us will be watching, that is for sure. With that, I want to hear from you. What do you hope this is? Do you hope this is the decision to keep going? Do you hope this is a decision to wrap things up? Maybe that it is over. There's a lot of rumblings of that. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. I also wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who donated during the Double Your Impact drive. We were able to beat the month, be able to actually exceed our budget by just a little bit, but that little bit matters. And I wanted to thank you all for being a part of that. We will have other opportunities. Of course, you can keep donating, but we'll have other opportunities very soon on how you can be a part of the ACLJ. With that, like I said, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Later in the show, senior attorney here, CeCe Heil, will be joining us, talk about what's going on, some of the work we're doing in Israel. And then later on, my dad, Jay Sekulow, will be joining us to discuss the Supreme Court case that is happening right now. A lot of you are maybe watching it. We decided to provide you some alternative programming, as we know that most of the news is covering currently the birthright citizenship case that is up right now. My dad will be on with his expert Supreme Court analysis a little bit later in the broadcast. So again, it's going to be a packed show, and I want you to be a part of it. But with that, let's address what's going on again tonight, and that is President Trump is planning to deliver a primetime address. You know, networks across all the networks, across, I mean, they'll be everywhere, of course, on social media, online, and same time, maybe not so ironically, this is Passover begins this evening. So again, all in God's timing and all very interesting to see this all play out really in real time.
And that's why this is so interesting, Logan, because I expected a primetime address actually when we launched the incursion into Iran. I expected at that time that the president would address the nation of this morning we took action to decisively go after the regime in Iran, especially after finding out that the Ayatollah had been killed in those actions. But we didn't see that. We saw the president use news conferences, do things. He isn't unavailable to the press. But the primetime Oval Office address from a president is something that you only see with very serious things. Yeah. I don't expect this to be from the president just a, we are in the middle of this and we will continue in the same path. There is going to be something different about what he will deliver to the American people tonight. Once again, when you give an address like this, and we are assuming it's Oval Office, but it could be in one of the other rooms. It doesn't necessarily have to be. That is, though, the typical setting. But that he is requesting all the networks to cover him live. That means he is interrupting all programming. That is typically reserved for something that is of great importance, that they want as many people to hear it directly from the president himself. Yeah, and we'll get more into that later.
I could see them waiting on this specifically to not infer that we are at war. You know, they've been very careful to not use the W word, if you will, in this situation in Iran. Of course, we all have, because honestly, it's the easiest way to describe what's going on. Let's not, you know, pretend here. But I understand there's legality in terms of using the word war. When you have the president making an Oval Office address, that kind of feels like you're starting a war. But maybe this is an Oval Office address to announce the end of the current attacks in Iran. What do you think? 1-800-684-3110. Do you think the president comes on tonight? You think he makes a statement that says, we are wrapping up? Maybe we're done in Iran? Do you hope that's the case? Or do you want to see the push still towards real regime change? As President Trump is starting to kind of slow roll out that the current people in charge are a lot better. That's also been some of his Truth Social posts. We'll discuss that coming up in just a moment. Again, on Seculo. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Let's be honest. There's a lot happening in America right now. It can be overwhelming. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're constantly being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might worry about the country you'll leave behind for your kids or your grandkids. You might feel you have no say over it, but your voice has power. You make a difference. Right now, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you'll make double the difference.
Our legal teams are fighting in courtrooms across the country, defending your rights to speak, to pray, even how to educate your kids. Right now, when you go to aclj.org/difference, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to defend your most essential liberties.
You're not just supporting the critical work of the ACLJ, you're doubling your impact to defend our constitutional rights. To double the difference, go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy. And across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's. It's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We know a bunch of you are just joining us right now, so I want to give you still a brief kind of breakdown of what this show is going to be about today. Of course, we are all covering that tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, President Trump will be making a statement to the nation, a primetime address. What does it look like? What's it about? We know it's about Iran. We don't know the details behind it, so we don't know whether this is to say, hey, we're going in boots on the ground. It could be that. It could be the opposite. It could say, we're done. We've wrapped up. The stock market's rallying today with kind of hopes, it seems, that we're wrapping things up. And what we kind of can infer from President Trump is a bit of that, though still with some pretty major caveats. On Truth Social, just did this morning, he put Iran's new regime president, much less radicalized and far more intelligent than his predecessors, as just asked the United States of America for a ceasefire. We will consider when the Hormuz Strait is open, free, and clear. Until then he goes a little President Trump here, until then we are blasting Iran into oblivion, or as they say, back to the Stone Ages. That's a quote, by the way. President Donald J. Trump.
As they say. Right.
Back to the Stone Ages. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We also know, if you're watching right now, a lot of the other networks are carrying the live audio as President Trump is actually sitting at the Supreme Court right now listening to the arguments over birthright citizenship. Now, this is a highly contested topic, even among conservatives, even amongst our listener base and our viewership base, and we understand that. And I thought the best way to give you a real legal understanding of this is my dad, Jay Sekulow, will be joining us later on in the broadcast. You're going to want to stay for that. That's going to be in the back half of the show. We also have CC Heil with an update coming in, one of our other ACLJ attorneys, to talk about some of the work we're doing right now in Israel. But the big topic on everyone's mind is what this 9 o'clock address is going to look like. And we have some calls coming in about that. Let's go to Philip first, actually, in South Carolina. Philip, you're on the air.
Hello, my friend. I love listening to your father in New Jersey. One question. I agree with the president's goals, but couldn't he have waited as a tactical thing till after November? Because right now, with the money going up because of the war effort, prices, gas, he puts all of these people running for office at risk if this thing goes south.
Certainly feels more vulnerable, Philip. I understand, but Will's got some.
Well, I also feel like, Philip, that would be more of a political error rather than a tactical error. I think the tactical mission is...
Or humanitarian effort.
And doing it at the right timing is doing it when the military advisors, the intelligence advisors, and the president believes is the right time to do that. Now, yes, I understand the political issue that if President Trump was purely a political machine, would have probably thought, yeah, let's do this after the midterms. This could harm the party, could harm my agenda. But I think that should almost showcase that it wasn't a political move to do this, that they had reasons, and he believed this was the best interest of the United States to go ahead and do this now. But yes, once again, also ending it can have major strategic implications for both the operation itself, but as well as the politics back home, giving the markets some time to recover if that is what's needed, showing victory, showing that there is not a threat from Iran. Those type of things can also calm down, and kind of the fog of war in the political sphere has time to clear before the election as well. But I think only thinking about it in a political calendar is part of the problem that so many previous presidents have fallen to, is that we're going to do this only when it's politically expedient. President Trump here didn't do that, and I feel like because of people like the Secretary of State, the Secretary of War, that are also saying, look, this is something we've been saying is a problem for a long time. Now is a very explicit time we can take action and get most, if not all, of our goals taken care of right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think what Will said is right. We complain all the time about politicians being politicians, about people switching sides on their own issue just to get a vote or to wait and hold something till a very specific time. Look, we all are pumping gas right now. We all feel it. Let's not pretend we don't. You go and fill up your gas tank. It's not great. Okay? We're all looking at it ourselves. We all can be on equal playing field here and going, whew, it is tough. Now, do I think the ends justify the means in this situation? I do. I believe there's also a massive humanitarian crisis where tens of thousands of people were being killed in the streets. And we said, you know what? Enough is enough. We've been talking a big game against Iran for a long time. And we have Israel and we have us, and we can go in and we can take care of this. I hope for a full regime change. I don't know where it's going to lead. I think President Trump is kind of almost saying this is a new regime. By already saying new regime, he is making you at least think that this is a new group of people. And look, for largely it is a new group of people. Your top leaders have all been wiped out. Now, what that means for the people of Iran, I think is very different than what it means for the United States of America. Those are going to be things that I hope he addresses tonight. What do you think? Do you think he addresses the humanitarian crisis that is going on in Iran, where people are being murdered in the streets for their beliefs, where women are being tortured, all of those things that we've heard and we know are happening? Do you think he addresses that tonight, or does he just address things like, you know, the actual tactical side of the war, the oil, the Strait of Hormuz, those type of moments? You think that's what it is? Or will we get to the heart of the matter? If you think he will, throw a yes in the chat. If you think he won't, it's just going to be focusing on the economy and things like that in relation to the war in Iran, say no. I'd love to see that in the chat, to see what our audience thinks President Trump will do. Not necessarily what you want him to do. What do you think he's going to do?
Well, and here's why this is also a curious timing of this announcement. This was announced and confirmed by Caroline Leavitt yesterday that the president would deliver this primetime address tonight. When you think about it, that's why it's probably, should not be just something of, we are going to continue as long as possible.
There should be an announcement.
There should be an announcement, whether that's asking Congress for more authority or whether that is announcing some sort of limited ground troop mission. I don't think it's something like when Barack Obama came on to announce the death of Osama bin Laden, the successful taking out of Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, the way you said that, the death of Osama
bin Laden. Right, yeah, but the successful killing of Osama bin Laden, finally getting him.
After a decade plus.
I don't think that would be something if it's like, oh, we sent ground troops in to recover the uranium, and that's already happened. They wouldn't have announced it yesterday because you know how bad Washington is about leaking things. From yesterday to tonight, everyone would already know and there'd be no point to it. So it's got to be something strategically, whether it's a drawdown, whether it is, or saying we are going to ramp up and ask Congress for more authority. I feel like it needs to be some sort of strategic change, not a announcement that we have done something, because if it were something that we have done, it would have leaked by the time. Normally, they announce that last minute, We're going live in 1 hour. Get everybody ready. Get the press here. Stop all your programming because Washington notoriously will tell everybody before the president has a chance to.
Yeah, usually they'll release what the transcript will be. The President Trump will be giving the written speech seconds before, maybe minutes before he goes live to make sure the press has the exact quotes ready to go. Now, hopefully, you know what I kind of want? I want President Trump to do the opposite. Don't release it. I like a good surprise. You know, that's part of live television, Will.
That's right. And Maureen on YouTube did ask, what time is the presidential address?
Yeah, 9 p.m.
It is at 9 p.m. Eastern. It will be available to watch just about everywhere that would break into it. Any over-the-air broadcast networks, then, ABC, CBS, NBC, as well as all the cable channels will be having it.
All your YouTube streams. Everyone will have this. I'm sure here on, if you're watching on Salem News Channel, if you're watching on one of our conservative talk stations, I would think that they would likely be playing it. I think a lot of people will have this wherever you need it. President Trump will kind of interrupt the broadcast on everything. And it's Wednesday night, Will. And I think tonight may have been one of the finales of The Masked Singer. So my kids may get a little upset.
Well, I'm sure they will delay broadcasts. They will shift their schedule some. You'll be able to get it on demand later. I know that your kids will be upset.
If President Trump breaks into the final unmasking, I could see a real big turn in the midterms.
Oh, no. of your non-voting age kids, they will be real upset.
I think there's a lot of voting age kids out there watching.
That are watching The Masked Singer.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
Phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. CeCe Howell's going to be joining us in the next segment. I also wanted to take a minute now that quite a lot more of you are watching right now. I want to say thank you. We had our Double Your Impact drive throughout the month of March where donations were doubled. And look, we're going to give you a new opportunity very soon on how you can get involved again. But right now, I just wanted to take a breath and say thank you. We had a goal. We exceeded that goal. Barely, but we did exceed the goal. Okay, I want to thank all of you who got involved and supported the work of the ACLJ during the month of March. Now we're into April. First night of Passover. Good Friday, 2 days away. Of course, Easter Sunday is just a few days away. So again, it's a great time to be thankful. Great time to thank you. Of course, be appreciative for not just your financial support, for the lives we get to live here on this earth. With that, I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110 to be on the air. And you can look at all the great content we put out. You know, all of it's free. None of it's beyond a paywall because you support. It's all at ACLJ.org, whether that's articles, whether that's videos we put out, movies, so much of it is just available there. If you need legal help, if you need just documentation, so much of it is available on ACLJ.org. Go spend some time on the website. So much, it's a really deep, in-depth site. We'll be right back with more on Seculo coming up, taking your calls and comments, and CeCe Howell.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy. And across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's. It's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Let's be honest. There's a lot happening in America right now. It can be overwhelming. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're constantly being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might worry about the country you'll leave behind for your kids or your grandkids. You might feel you have no say over it, but your voice has power. You make a difference. Right now, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you'll make double the difference.
Our legal teams are fighting in courtrooms across the country, defending your rights to speak, to pray, even how to educate your kids. Right now, when you go to aclj.org/difference, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to defend your most essential liberties.
You're not just supporting the critical work of the ACLJ, you're doubling your impact to defend our constitutional rights. To double the difference, go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.
Welcome back to Secula. We are going to take some more calls and comments coming up. And like I said, we're going to address the Supreme Court oral argument that just, I believe, concluded on birthright citizenship a little bit later in the show. My dad, Jay Secula, is going to join us. So you're going to hear that. Just some analysis. Not even again. We understand that this is a very nuanced situation. There's some of you on each side of these issues. It is not something that's necessarily falling on a party line. But with that, I wanted to make sure we had a top-notch analysis. We'll have that as well. I also wanted to give you an update, and that's why CeCe is joining us right now. CeCe Heil is in studio with us to address what's been going on at the UN, because there is some pretty big updates, as of course our work continues on behalf of the United States and on behalf of the state of Israel. So again, our work continues here at the ACLJ.
Yeah, so once again, I talk about this a lot. It's the Universal Periodic Review, which we participate in. There's three sessions each year, and basically it's the United Nations reviewing the human rights record of every single UN member state. And what's interesting about this year, we will obviously be reporting on all the 14 member states that come up this first session. But last year was the United States review period. And if you recall, the United States actually boycotted because they say the UN Human Rights Council obviously is made up of members that don't care about human rights and they're the biggest violators, and so they don't want to be a part of that. And we understand that at the ACLJ. But since the UN Human Rights Council continues to go on, we want to be there and we want to be standing up for what's right and true. And so what's interesting, and I think that our listeners will find this interesting, is we get to update the USA report then. And so we get to show what has happened from the Biden administration, which we all know was terrible, attacked Christians every chance they could get through the Treasury Department, through military training. We've talked about those issues on this radio show over and over and over again. But if you didn't know, just for religious liberty, I'm just going to go through some of these things that has happened since the Trump administration took over. For religious liberty, President Trump established the Religious Liberty Commission. The purpose of creating this new policy is to enforce the historic and robust protections for religious liberty enshrined in federal law. President Trump created the White House Faith Office. He issued an executive order that we will not tolerate anti-Christian weaponization of government or unlawful conduct targeting Christians. He also issued another executive order combating anti-Semitism vigorously, and then designed Nigeria, as we know, as a country of particular concern, standing up for Christians there, and that the United States must address the ongoing persecution and killing of Christians. So that was just what the United States has done for religious freedom. And then we go into life, for protection of life. And I want to read this because it's an amazing statement, a presidential statement, if you've not heard it. Today, we uphold the eternal truth that every human being is created in the holy image and likeness of God, blessed with infinite worth and boundless potential. And it goes on to say that, as president, I pledge to always be a voice for the voiceless and to never tire in fighting to protect the intrinsic dignity of every child born and unborn. And that is from the President of the United States standing up for unborn children. Vice President Vance made a similar statement. The National Institute of Health enacted a new policy that would end the use of aborted human fetal tissue in research, and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights is going after any hospital that wants to stop doctors from having conscience against performing abortions. Again, then there was another executive order enforcing the Hyde Amendment that prevents federal funding from going to elective abortion, and reinstated the Mexico City policy that prevents organizations that receive federal global health funding from providing abortions. This is just some of the things that our government under the Trump administration has done to stand up for religious freedom and for life. And we get to say that in a report to the United Nations. And we know we're probably the only people or organization doing that. But, you know, it's a good day when we can say our country is doing the right thing.
That's right. And when you look at these UPRs, when it comes to other countries trying to raise the human rights record of other countries that receive a lot of funding and aid from the UN, it's important for us to weigh in there to make sure that there's a full record when it comes to some of these countries that persecute Christians. With the United States, obviously, we are the ones funding the UN to the vast majority. So there's not like that issue with if there's a human rights violation according to all the other nations of the world. But it is good to have that in the record, because we know the adversaries of the United States that have a forum at the UN will be taking this opportunity,
yes,
to try and make the United States look bad, to try to put in the record, look how bad the U.S. is. They're going to be putting things about ICE in the way, and President Trump being a fascist, while they themselves have authoritarian regimes that control their countries. Us being able to do this, as well as highlight things like life. When you think about how many countries that are representative at the UN are much more pro-life than the United States, historically, when it comes to culturally, that putting that in the record, it may be putting it before people that are representatives there are seeing this for the first time, because that's not what everyone wants to hear about the United States. And so it actually gives us an opportunity to explain to other countries the real record of this administration and of the United States during this time.
Absolutely. And, you know, you point out make a good point with the people that are reading this. And these are people that work for the United Nations. But the rhetoric, especially around life, we are the one organization that gets to point out, just like you said, a majority, and most people probably don't know this, but a majority of the member states, the UN member states, are pro-life, that they do not allow abortion at all. The majority do.
Right.
But the UN, the people that run it, would make you think the exact opposite, that of course abortion is a right and of course it should be protected. And so it is great that we can point this out, and we can point out that the United States is definitely standing for life, that we have our president of the United States making statements and our vice president defending the life of the unborn, the most innocent victims that we need to speak up for. So that is awesome.
Thanks, Cece, for that update. We have more that we'll be getting into as these days go on. The deadline is April 10th. Is that correct? So our team working on that right now, just a little bit over a week and a half away before we submit that and some other things at the UN. But even when there are things going on, like the conflict in Iran or all the things going on here at home, our team is still working on these reports to the UN, things that most people don't even think about. But they are very important, not only for setting the record straight about what's going on in America, but also to put pressure on nations abroad that are violating the religious freedom, the religious rights and humanitarian rights of their citizens. And a lot of these countries do get a lot of funding and aid from the UN. And so that is why we at the ACLJ, we file a report, Cece, on every single country.
We do. And, you know, usually you're exactly right. Usually we are showing every single human rights violation. So most of the reports are, you know, they've done this wrong, they've done this, they kill Christians, they, you know, don't let them have Bible studies. Whatever it is, we point out those rights. So this is a good change of pace that we get to say, hey, the United States is doing these things right on religious liberty and life.
Thank you so much, Cece. We are wrapping up this first half hour of Seculo. Yep. In the next half hour, we've got Logan, your dad, joining us to talk about this Supreme Court case that was this hearing, oral argument that was going on, just wrapped up. I know he was watching it. It's going to give us analysis on what he saw, but a lot more ahead.
That's right. It will be a packed back half of the show. If you don't get us, by the way, on your local station, if you're listening on terrestrial radio or something like that, some of the stations only carry half hour or half hour at a time. Find the whole show always live at aclj.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, however you get your podcasts, we're there. If they have a live streaming option, we're there from noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. But if you're catching us later on, you want to hear the rest of the show, maybe you're hearing this tape delayed, find the whole show archived again wherever you get your podcasts, aclj.org or the ACLJ app. Back in less than a minute. There's a lot happening in America right now. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might feel like you have no say over it, but you make a difference. And right now, you can make double the difference. Our legal teams are fighting across the country, defending your rights to speak, pray, and even how to educate your kids.
Join the fight. Go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.
I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about
keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We're monitoring a lot of breaking news items right now as it is the first night of Passover about to begin, and we know as it is already evening in Israel, there have been some rocket launches and rocket attacks in Tel Aviv. That's just coming in right now. We're going to try to get an update on that from our team at ACLJ Jerusalem and figure out what's going on. Passover begins and the war continues on. As we know, holy sites have been closed. There's been a lot. There's been a lot of changes over in the Middle East over the last month, and we hope President Trump tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern time, making a statement to the nation about the situation in Iran. What is it going to be? What does it look like? We got a lot of calls coming in. I know we want to take some of those calls. Will, which one do you want to go?
Yeah, let's go to Estelle calling in South Carolina on line one. I think it's a very important question, and she's also an ACLJ champion. Fantastic. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. I am totally confused. I love President Trump, but he keeps saying we have enough. My husband's a trucker, and diesel is sky high, and the gas is high. But he keeps saying the United States produces more oil and gas, and we don't need the Strait of Hormuz. And another thing, he said he's talking to these people in Iran. Who's he talking to? The Muslims that were there? I noticed
all valid questions, Estelle, of, again, what does that leadership look like? But I think we'll want to address maybe the economic side of this first, in terms of the gas prices.
And I think when the president's not wrong when he says, you know, we produce enough for this country. Yes, we are a net exporter, meaning that we produce more oil and gas in the United States than we consume.
However,
now we still do buy some from other countries. There is that the export game. This is a commodity. We do buy some.
That's what you said.
We do buy some. Well, yeah. But this is a commodity. It's a traded commodity. And the world market does affect even the prices here at home, because our companies here sell it to other countries. When a choke point like the Strait of Hormuz, where I believe it's like 20% of the world's oil comes out of, not any that we are necessarily using, but that still affects global supply. And when the U.S. is selling it in other places as well, and there is a demand for it because 20% of the oil that is normally in the marketplace is no longer available, that creates a supply and demand issue. When the demand doesn't change, there's still the same amount of demand from the consumers, from the countries around the world, but the supply gets lower, prices go up. It's the basic supply and demand formula. And that's going to go up around the world. If we were a completely isolated system where we only produced oil for ourselves and only sold it to ourselves, then you would probably have a situation where it was not affecting the world prices, or we were not affected by it. We are isolated from it. But that's not the way it works. The companies that produce it here are also selling it all around the world, and the market is dictating that price. It is going to go up. I think you will start to see it come down. Because what have we seen? The markets are roaring today. The stock markets and all of those other markets, due to the announcement of an announcement.
Yeah, just the hope.
Right, that Caroline Leavitt yesterday said, hey, he's going to have a primetime address. The stock market went crazy yesterday afternoon and today, which inversely, the oil market has started to come down. But Estelle, I hope that gives a little bit of insight into it, is that while we do produce more than we can consume here, it is still connected to that global system. And when a big part of the supply goes missing, it affects prices around the world.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Estelle, though. And also thank you for being an ACLJ champion. And if you don't know what that is, that's someone who gives every month to the ACLJ on a recurring basis, like a membership. They sign up, you get automatically charged. Of course, you can cancel at any time and all that. And I like to always put champions up front when they tell our phone screener they're a champion. They get moved to the top of the line, because I think it's always important to, you know, pay respect for those who really support what we're doing here. And of course, countdown also underway to the big launch, the Artemis II launch. I mean, there's so much happening in this country today. And now we're also looking to around the world again, as there have been some missile attacks in Israel as Passover begins. We're going to discuss that and more. My dad, Jay Sekulow, joining us in the next segment.
Let's be honest. There's a lot happening in America right now. It can be overwhelming. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're constantly being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might worry about the country you'll leave behind for your kids or your grandkids. You might feel you have no say over it, but your voice has power. You make a difference. Right now, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you'll make double the difference.
Our legal teams are fighting in courtrooms across the country, defending your rights to speak, to pray, even how to educate your kids. Right now, when you go to aclj.org/difference, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to defend your most essential liberties.
You're not just supporting the critical work of the ACLJ, you're doubling your impact to defend our constitutional rights. To double the difference, go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy. And across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's. It's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Secular. We are going to take your calls, by the way, in the next segment at 1-800-684-3110 about any of the myriad of issues we've discussed this morning. Of course, we've talked about President Trump making a statement tonight. We know he'll be making an address to the nation at 9 p.m. All speculations are going wild right now, whether that's going to be saying the war in Iran is over or it continues or what it could look like as he will address the nation formally tonight for the first time since the beginning at 9 p.m. We also know President Trump was just wrapped up being at a Supreme Court hearing today on birthright citizenship. That's why I bring in my dad, Jay Sekulo, who was listening in and get his thoughts because, look, this is a highly contested issue, even amongst conservatives. When it comes to what the ruling should be in terms of birthright citizenship, but even just without necessarily a side one way or the other, how do you think the arguments went?
Well, it was interesting. The justices pushed back on both sides pretty aggressively. A lot of the commentators are thinking that as it stands right now, it's more likely the court will not side with the administration. I think you have to start with what the actual text of the 14th Amendment says.
Oh, I think we may have lost you. We'll call, or let's say we got you back.
I'm here.
All right, let's try reconnecting here. We're having some connection issues, and now I'll bring them on to the next segment. So let's just see if we can connect. Maybe there's another way to do that through Wi-Fi or something. With that, we'll bring him back on in just a minute. Let's just call him back. Let's quickly take a call while we wait. Let's go to Ronald, who is watching on Rumble, longtime supporter here. Ronald, thanks for filling in the gap here for us. Go ahead.
No problem. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, about what you were saying concerning the president's speech this afternoon about Iran, it would be great if he was to say that they've come to end to the war and the conflict with the new regime that everyone's been talking that's in place. But it would also be great if he was to announce that this new committee or governing power would include also many of the people in Iran that have been abused and everything, so that they at least have a voice now to represent in the building and or rebuilding of their country.
Ronald, one of my concerns even right now is, you know, President Trump started this morning saying that, you know, Iran's new regime president has asked for a ceasefire, and then that regime just put out a statement saying, no, we didn't. So now you have to go with, okay, you're still with a regime that is at least likely lying.
Right. Well, and once again, I don't think that the new regime that is at least speaking for the Revolutionary Guard is someone that would bring on a minority group to help recraft a government. But I do agree, Ronald, that would be a wonderful thing. Nice. I just don't see that being in the cards right now. We do have your dad back. We were talking about the text of the 14th Amendment, which is kind of the crux of what this oral argument gets at, where how it's interpreted, how it reads, and I just wanted to give the floor back to you on that.
So you got to start with the text of the Constitution, and here's what it actually says. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So it says there's two aspects of it. You have to be born or naturalized in the United States. In other words, naturalization through the process of naturalization that we have. Born in the United States. But it doesn't just say all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States. There's a caveat. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And that is where the argument has come down, because the argument being that those here that are not here legally in the United States do not deem themselves to be subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So that's where this comes down. And the impacts are significant. The administration is not proactive. They're asking this to be prospective. But that's really what it comes down to. What does the text actually mean when it says subject to the jurisdiction thereof? And it doesn't simply say all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens. It has that caveat, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Very hard to predict where the court's going to be on this. My expectation is that the government has the Trump administration has an uphill battle, but there were hard questions posed on both sides. We'll get a decision probably in June.
Well, and I think that is what is fascinating about a case like this, because even looking at it as a textualist, as some like even Justice Alito, it is hard to see how they will perceive what those texts say. And you think of Justice Thomas and those that would be very strict with the wording of it, as well as those that may be seen as more in the moderate vein. I don't necessarily agree with that categorization, but even the Kavanaughs, that it's really hard, and it always is with the Supreme Court, but with this issue specifically, to see where they're going to land. I think this may be one of the hardest to kind of prognosticate about that we've seen in quite some time before this court.
I think, again, we have had a technical glitch there, but again, I think it's always important to hear this. Look, I want to know what your thoughts are. Where do you hope that this lands? I think this is a real careful one, because I think the idea of being born in America and being having the rights thereof of being born an American citizen has always been something that we've all been taught. What does that look like as it is challenged? And do you agree with President Trump on this? I'd be curious your thoughts.
Well, and even as your dad brought up there, and Carolyn is asking, so we have to wait until June to get an answer.
Yeah.
One, with it being this late in the term as it is, we're already in March.
That's nothing. Carol,
right,
come on.
Six weeks, eight weeks. Especially with big decisions like this, they are typically not until the end of the Supreme Court term. When they are releasing a lot of opinions, they're already releasing opinions from earlier.
As you may not know, they vote, at least their initial vote, today. They'll make a decision, but it takes weeks and weeks to form the official decision, and they can change their mind.
Because then they have to start writing the opinion.
Yeah.
So they will vote kind of how they fall on the issue right after. And as you said, until that decision is, an opinion is published, anyone can change their mind about how they are. But they typically see how they vote, then the justice to write the opinion is assigned, and then they start writing their opinion. And then other justices see if they want to write a concurrence, because they may have read it a little differently, but still agree with the ruling, but for different reasons. And then you have the dissents. I guarantee you, no matter what, there will be a dissent from someone somewhere on this ruling. I feel like it is too polarizing that you're not going to get a 9-0 ruling on this.
Hey, phone lines are open. I want to take them in the next segment at 1-800-684-3110. But I also know you wanted to update everyone on the Eric Swalwell situation.
This is true.
There was
Logan.
A little bit of a pushback that happened over the last 24 hours. You may not remember. Yesterday on the broadcast, we discussed that Eric Swalwell wants transparency on everything. He wants sunlight to be the disinfectant of the world, unless it has to do with his own misdoings or has to do with anything related to him and potentially having Chinese spies within his own cabinet or administration, if you will. And that kind of changed a little bit overnight.
That's right. So he went on CNN and was talking to the host there about the issue surrounding this, because there he sent a cease and desist to the director of the FBI saying that if we are going to see this, then this is illegal. You cannot do this. This is a violation of my rights. Then he went on CNN after this cease and desist and said this about if they are to release this investigation into the spy in his office, this is how bad it will be, bite one.
More will come, other nonsense from the administration, but we don't trust them one bit, and it's also absurd, just absolutely absurd, as somebody who was on the Intelligence Committee, oversaw the CIA for 8 years, that they're so out to interfere in the California gubernatorial race, where we're leading, that they would work with the Chinese. I mean, it's just absurd, and probably the worst abuse that we've seen since the J. Edgar Hoover days.
So if they are to release this, this is the worst abuse we've seen since the J. Edgar Hoover days. I mean, I feel like James Comey's got to be a little upset that he doesn't get an honorable mention for the abuse and interference in election that he did in 2016. Whether you're a conservative or a liberal on that one, how many times did he interfere with Hillary Clinton's campaign? Closing, reopening, closing again, the email investigation. And then also we know how hard he pushed and worked with the president of the United States and the director of the CIA when it came to Crossfire Hurricane to go after President Trump. Come on now. No love for Comey? I think it's a ridiculous statement, but obviously he's got something to hide. He's not happy about
Comey
it.
Comey don't play that. We know that. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. I'm going to take as many calls as I can in the next segment. We got four lines open. So this is a perfect time to call in. Get your voice heard on the air. Of course, it's the first night of Passover. We're heading into Good Friday. And, of course, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day, just around the corner. It's a great time to call in, even with your thanks, because we are so thankful for you and for all the support you gave us over the month of March. And now we head into April. We'll be back with your calls and comments to wrap up the show in just a moment.
We've witnessed monumental legal victories from defending the 14th Amendment and protecting our sacred American right to vote, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and standing up for the religious liberty of our kids and seniors. But even with the many historic wins we've achieved, the battle is far from over. The attacks on our constitutionally protected rights persist. Countless unborn babies remain in jeopardy, and across the globe, innocent Christians are being targeted and killed across this country and around the world. This fight isn't just the ACLJ's, it's all of ours. It belongs to every American who wants to preserve the values and beliefs on which this nation was founded. None of the victories we've won would have been possible without the unwavering support of ACLJ members and ACLJ champions. It's been an honor to fight for you all these years. Join us in fighting for freedom. Have your donation doubled at aclj.org/freedom.
Let's be honest. There's a lot happening in America right now. It can be overwhelming. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're constantly being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might worry about the country you'll leave behind for your kids or your grandkids. You might feel you have no say over it, but your voice has power. You make a difference. Right now, when you support the work of the ACLJ, you'll make double the difference.
Our legal teams are fighting in courtrooms across the country, defending your rights to speak, to pray, even how to educate your kids. Right now, when you go to aclj.org/difference, your tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to defend your most essential liberties.
You're not just supporting the critical work of the ACLJ, you're doubling your impact to defend our constitutional rights. To double the difference, go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.
Welcome back. Last segment of the day. Phone lines are still open if you want to be on the show today. 1-800-684-3110. We got about 8 minutes left. That's usually enough time for two or three calls at least. So if you want to call in, great time to do it at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go ahead and take a call. Let's go to Luke in Virginia, line 3. Luke, you're on the air.
Hello, Jay. Thank you very much. This is Luke and Leslie.
Hello.
Hi. Go
ahead. And I wanted to, what I wanted to say is, I'm talking about the gas prices.
Yep.
Is the hand that pumps the gas today is going to be the same hand that pulls the ballot in the midterm election in November. And I don't think that you're going to be able to convince people that paying $4, $5, $6 a gallon for gas is good or correct. Okay, you know, and I've heard all the arguments for it, but you're not going to be able to convince people. Because my question would be, borrow a tactic from James Carville, I would be saying, where's the lines? If you go to any gas station, there's no lines because there's not a shortage of supply. It's a overpriced supply. Well, that's all I wanted to say about the gasoline. The other thing I wanted to say is March is the Save America month in the Senate, and that is what we really should be talking about, is the voter ID. Yeah. If
Luke, I'm only cutting you off because we only got time to address a few of these.
Yeah,
the gas price. Look, we understand, and I brought this up when we're all feeling it when we're there at the gas pump. I know I got to go later today. At best, I got till tomorrow before I have to refill. Maybe I'll wait till after the president speaks. It usually takes a couple days at least.
You're going to hedge your bets there a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can get a better price.
Better price, because look, I understand it's tough. It's. And you're not wrong that when people see those price tags and they see what the final to fill up the gas, it's, if everyone's thinking about it, then it becomes an issue. But,
well, I think this is what I love about the callers that call into this show, Luke and Leslie there as well, that, yeah, people don't typically vote on foreign policy issues, whether it's for president, especially in the midterms. Foreign policy issues aren't what motivates
people. People don't
usually
vote in the midterms.
This is true. But what does motivate people is their money, their pocketbook, their taxes, their gas prices, their food prices. We saw what actually was one of the biggest negatives against Joe Biden was all the inflation that happened under his administration. That is what harmed his presidency, among other things, as well as. But that is one that the people in the middle that decide whether or not to actually just leave their house and go vote, the people that truly decide elections, if they are not motivated to leave, if everything's comfortable, that's actually not good for the incumbent many times. If they are comfortable and aren't motivated to go sustain it. And Luke, to your point, one, if this wraps up and things go back to normal, then the voter memory is so short.
Yeah, but
the
very
gas
temporary
price thing that has happened here will not affect the midterms. It may affect some primaries, but it won't affect the midterms. But if it maintains and keeps going on, you are exactly right. The same hand that is pumping the gas is the one that pulls the lever, and that they are going to use that car that they filled up with gas to probably go vote against the incumbent party if prices remain high. Because at the end of the day, that is really what motivates people to vote.
Got to change that now to tap the screen.
I understand what you're saying.
The hand that pumps the gas is the finger that touches the screen.
There you go.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about that?
It's not as good of an analogy.
Pulling the lever, I feel like we're doing slot machines here.
Well, you still say that. You go pull the lever for that candidate. That is still a turn of phrase that's used.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take some more calls.
Let's go to Corinne, who's calling. We'll keep this on the gas conversation. Corinne in North Carolina, you're on the air.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, good, Corinne.
I wanted to make a statement about the idea of the gas so-called being high, because under Trump, with the way he has it and the way his system's running, it should be low, but I think because the gas industry and the their business, they don't want to lower it, so they're pushing it higher because they don't want to have to lose money, so they try to keep the gas higher.
Yeah, Corinne, well, when I'm looking at even the chat, someone's like, well, here in Northern California, it's $8 a gallon. It's like, all right, well, that's a California problem that has always been a problem, which is if you want to, the most sticker shock is when it's $1.50 at home here in Tennessee, and then you go travel to the West Coast and you see prices in the $4 or $5 range in a normal day.
Well, and Corinne, also, yes, this is a marketplace for oil and gas. So the companies that do business outside of the United States as well are not going to just sell their oil and gas at a discount because they can. They are going to be in the marketplace. That is a part of how that entire industry works. So yes, they are making money reflective to the marketplace. And it is a temporary thing, as our previous caller mentioned. There isn't a gas shortage like we saw during the Iranian Revolution and under Jimmy Carter, where people were in lines waiting just to be able to try and get gas. Now, if it extended, things like that could change. But being mostly energy independent here in the United States, we are in a much better position. But I don't think that they are high because they're opportunistic. They just follow the market. And when it is traded, humongous global industry, they're not just going to be like, well, we're America, we're keeping the price of a barrel of crude low. That would also not work out in the marketplace. That would cause disruptions elsewhere.
We got one more call related to gas prices. I think we should just go ahead and take that. Holland, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to you today. It's just too different of a topic to really bring it back around in 2 minutes. Let's go to Maria, who's calling online too. Maria, go ahead. Maria, you there?
Hello.
Hello, yes, you're on the air.
Yes, it's the same thing that goes with gas. I mean, I understand that you have to keep it in the marketplace and all of this, but does the president understand that we need to go to work? We need that gas. We can't just drive our bikes or ride a horse anymore. We need all of that.
Well, I completely understand where you're going, Maria, as well. But also remember, we don't have a nationalized oil and gas industry. Yes, it's heavily regulated. You have to get permits. But the president himself does not control the price of gas either. These are market reflections of things that the president has done. And even if he wraps it up, yes, it could potentially bring down prices. There are ways to use strategic reserve. They have done some of that to alleviate it. But at the end of the day, also, he doesn't control that business. That is, those are independent companies that are reflective of the marketplace. Also, if they were to, as I was talking about earlier, just drop the price here in the United States, that would cause shortages. Because everywhere in the world would try to buy up that oil at the discount, and then it would no longer exist. And everyone would be reliant on the higher prices. So it wouldn't work out that way as well. But I do understand your concern. A lot of people have that same concern. And that's why we're very curious what the president says tonight about this.
Tonight, 9 p.m., we'll all be watching as we see, our Masked Singer delayed or something like that. But we'll still be watching President Trump make his statement to the nation, as well as the first night of Passover as we head throughout Holy Week this week. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Seculo. There's a lot happening in America right now. Our values, our faith, our freedoms, they're being challenged in courtrooms and on Capitol Hill.
You might feel like you have no say over it, but you make a difference. And right now, you can make double the difference. Our legal teams are fighting across the country, defending your rights to speak, pray, and even how to educate your kids.
Join the fight. Go to aclj.org/double to have your gift doubled today.